Some of you may be new in this walk of Christ and have not established a foundation. And that's important. And so we're going to talk about God's way to prosper. Say God's way to prosper. And we're going to show you in Scripture that God wants to prosper your life. He wants you to have a blessed life. God wants you to increase. And these are biblical words. And it's important that I take time because the Word of God is going to do that for you. And you have to become comfortable, and we're going to read in a moment out of the Bible, that you make your own way prosperous. And that sounds kind of strange because somehow we have an idea that God's going to like run our lives. We're not robots. We're not puppets. Amen. We make our own way prosperous by following the word of God in our life. It's the word that does it, but it doesn't happen without us doing it. Are you following it?
Yes.
And so it's important we see that. And by the way, it's important that I clarify this. Prosperity is not about money. It's about increase in every area of your life. So it includes money, but it includes your health, your relationships. You know, you shouldn't be a person that's always starting new friends and losing old ones. You want to add to the old ones. Amen. Now, you may lose a few here and there over the 30, 40, 50-year period, but every 4 or 3 years, you got a whole new friends. You see, you're not prospering in your relationships because God had built and designed man to do life in relationships.
Amen. Right.
This is why love is so important and forgiveness is so important, because it's how God strengthens and builds relationships and how he gets things done. See, God is so relational that you can't even come to heaven without going through his son and having a relationship with his son, Jesus.
Amen.
And yet, because of, I know drama happens in people's lives when they're younger and so forth, things happen when they're older, and they somehow discount relationships because that's where the pain oftentimes is. But that's why following God's word, we can begin to mend relationships. Say mend relationships. So we should prosper in that area, our academic areas, every area of our life. And most of us, we believe in doing it. We want to get good grades, that's prospering. Mm-hmm. We want to get admitted in college and go to law school and business school and medical school, that's prospering. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want to raise on your job and promotion, that's what? Prospering. We don't mind doing that as long as God's not doing it for some Christians. But I'm going to share with you that it's God's way. And so because we can prosper American way, we can prosper my friend's way, daddy's way, mama's way, my way and your way, and not prosper God's way. The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? He prospered the world's way. He got stuff, but he don't have God and the purpose of God in his life. So what we're talking about, that God wants you to prosper in every area. So prosperity is about looking at every area of our lives. How can I increase, do better, improve? And how can the word of God help me do that? Say, help me.
Help me.
Say, Lord,
help me today.
I'm glad you showed up. Amen. So here in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, this verse is, I'm going to spend a little time on it. You have notes available to you. Give you a little insight. We're going to have communion at the end of the message, but also I won't finish all the notes that I've given you. Just want to go ahead and take time and go deeper. You know, one thing I do, even though I get my notes done like that Thursday, the office and get it done and get it on the system and so forth, God's still talking to me. And I'm going deeper myself, and I realize I can't just rush this here, and I want to take time. But I'll be teaching it in my Bible study this week, and it'll be both Wednesday noon and Wednesday night. And we do the Wednesday noon. It's streamed live. It's also archived, so you can watch it online and then take notes there. That okay? Amen. It says here, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Notice the book of the law. Now, in the context, he's talking about the law of Moses. But for really, when you look at it, it applies to every area of our life, even in the New Testament. That's part of God's law. You see, the Old Testament is a contract, and the New Testament is a contract. That's what it means, covenant, contract. And it's God's commitment to us. He's expanded upon it because Jesus provided more insight and more light into what God's original plan is for man. But he hasn't done away with the old one.
Amen.
He just added the new one to make it more complete. Say more complete.
More complete.
So when he talks about this book of the law, as I'm ministering to you, it's not just the Old Testament, but the New Testament too. Say New Testament too. And it's about really taking to heart the word of God. Now, the fact that you're here, you know, I'm not suggesting that you don't believe the Bible and you don't read the Bible and it's not important to you. That's not the issue. The issue is go deeper.
Yeah.
Because God wants to do more in your life. Say, do more in my life.
More in my
And not just in your life, but impact your children, your nieces and nephews and your neighbors and the world around us. Amen. God wants to do more. And he's going to do it from the inside out. Amen. You see, when we receive Christ, Christ comes in us. The Bible says Christ in you, the hope of glory. So everything you need is already inside of you. Amen. The word of God brings it out of us. When we begin to get this, is that what we need is inside of us, and then the Word of God helps us understand to bring it outside of us, then it'll work well for us. The reason why it's important like that, when we talk about it, because if we don't understand that what God's trying to do is give what he put inside of us out of us through his Word, then we could sabotage it. God talks about, for example, healing, but then my body's feel like it's sick. Well, but see, because my mouth is tied to, we're going to read in a moment, to what I do and how God prospers me, if I undermine what God said, he can't bring what he said out in my life, which includes my healing. Amen. Are you following me? So your mouth plays a very important part. In fact, we're going to learn and talk about even further when we get into the area of faith, that faith is voice activated. Say voice activated. You got to say something. And yet we do that in every other area of our lives. As a manager, supervisor, you got to talk to people. Can you imagine being a supervisor, manager, you don't like to talk to people? You won't get nothing done. Say voice activated. It says, this book of the law should not depart from your mouth. Now, he's not saying don't say it. He said don't. He's meaning don't stop saying it. And that's not my words. You look at other scriptures and you begin to see that even in the book of Deuteronomy itself, the law, in chapter 6, Moses is instructing the parents to teach their children the Word of God. And then he says, and you talk about them, teach the Word of God and then talk about it. And when you're in the morning, wake up in the morning talking about the Word. Amen. As you walk around, do your business, go to school and shop and so forth, talk about the Word. Amen. Talk about the Word. When you lie down by the Word of sleep, you talk about the what? The Word. That's in the law. So he's not inconsistent. He's meaning keep talking about it. Why is that important? Because it's the activation of what's in you. And when you start talking about it, that's a reflection of that is deeper in your heart. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 12 in the 34th verse. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. So if you're not talking it, it's not in your heart in abundance. It may be in there a little bit. But if it come out of your mouth, you know it's in me now.
That's it.
That's why some folk cuss under pressure. Yeah. Cuss is inside of them. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, we had one of our young adults, who was a youth then, had a serious accident. And he was in the hospital and in a coma. And we're praying, believing God. He ultimately got out of that. He came out of that and doing better. But my point is that the doctor told his mom, well, he may come out of the coma, but he may start be angry and start cussing. He said, he's not going to cuss. He said, why? There's no cuss in him. Mm-hmm. No cuss in him. Yeah. Oh. You want to get to the point where there's no defeat in you.
Amen.
No give up in you.
Amen.
Bible says in Galatians 6, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not or don't give up. I recall I was doing an internship back in the late 70s, 78, and when I was in business school, and I was really, and I thought about this. I just thought about it now, but it really hit me. I'm talking to this guy, he's about to get married, and I said, oh, it's wonderful. And he began to talk about how he had a contingency plan in case it don't work. I said, why you want to marry somebody? You're not sure? Well, I'm kind of sure, but you know how it is. God, that's what's in him, not commitment. Not sure, isn't it? So what the Word of God, for it to be prosper in our life, it got to be where we're convinced of it.
Amen.
We believe it. That's why we're going to read in a moment. Meditate in it day and night. So it goes deep and it flows out of your mouth. That's my job. I want that job over there, sir. I want the next promotion over there. I want to be first string. I want to put me in, coach. I'll get 3 points. Put me in. Are you following me? Why? It's in you. Say it's in you. This book of the law should not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it. How often?
Day.
How often?
Day.
Now, meditation is not some off in some tree somewhere, and do some kind of weird chant. It's thinking and reading and letting God through the Holy Spirit speak to you and give you a deeper understanding about the scriptures. Why is that? Jesus says, my words are spirit and they're life. And he wants to give you a life, not just life in your physical body, but everything about you. You want everything around you alive,
yes.
Not dying, but alive.
Yes.
The word does that for you.
Amen.
So part of this teaching is really to reaffirm and challenge us to get deeper in the word. And some of us, we may have slipped a little bit, get back on track, get on the good foot. Amen?
Amen.
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 Because see what happens, we'd be like riding the bike, you know, and you've been pedaling, going pretty fast. All of a sudden, you just stop pedaling, but you're still moving, and you coasted. When you stop pedaling, you started slowing down. You stop spending time in the Word and going deeper, you were slowing down. Slowing down the development and growth. And then after a while, you're still moving. All of a sudden, you find yourself stopped, it's kind of stuck. How did I get over here, God? Look at your word life. You believe in the Bible. You go to church. But are you taking time to go deeper in it, and even day and night?
Yes.
Now, don't get bent out of shape about the day and night piece. You can do it easily. You know how you learn songs? You know, you sing a song on the way to work and stuff. You know your favorite songs? Okay, don't have no songs. No, don't have no favorite songs over here. You know your favorite songs? And then you know the lyrics, right? You just listen to it over and over again. And you know, you're not saying, I got to learn this song. No, you just learn it by listening to it.
That's right.
Get exposed, and pretty soon it'll be in your heart. And go deeper. Then you pray, you ask, Lord, show me, Lord, show me. I was reading a book about George Washington Carver, former slave and scientist, and worked with Tuskegee University. In one of his books, he talked about he would go into the field and see the beautiful flowers. He would ask God, Lord, what is this? The color on this flower is beautiful. What is it for? He's inquiring of God. See, inquire of God, Lord, okay, how does this apply to me, Lord God? And God began to respond to him. He began to become a prolific inventor of all kind of things.
Amen.
Because he inquired of God in his quiet time. Say quiet time.
Quiet time, yes.
When you meditate, it's quiet because you shut out of the noise.
Yes.
And that's what God wants to do. Oh, yeah. The Bible says the secret things of the Lord. See, the secret things of life belong to the Lord, but things he's revealed, he reveals them to men. God wants to reveal things to you,
mm-hmm.
but it's in a secret time with him.
Yes.
Meditation. Say meditation.
Meditation.
And you go deeper. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Say day and night.
Day and night.
Say it again, please. So you could maybe in the morning time take time in the Word, and then maybe in the evening take time in the Word. Maybe throughout the day, lunchtime, lunch break, maybe driving, turn off the radio, listen to the scripture it's in your own heart you've been thinking about. You'd be surprised how you get a light come on. You read it five times, and then maybe the sixth time, wow, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Wow, God, it was in there all along.
Yeah.
You see, don't take a human approach. The Bible's not a history book. It's not a novel. It's a book of life for living.
Yes, yes.
And so it's always giving birth to new insight of what it really is. It was there all along. You just didn't see it before. You may see at a certain verse, it provides a level of application maybe in your relationship. But then you look at it further. Oh, there's healing in that verse. I didn't see healing in that verse. The same passage. I can see relationship and healing. Are you following me?
Yes.
As you meditate deeper, you find other applications of the same passage. Okay, let me help you. See my fist? You see it?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all don't see it? Okay, just wondering. Let's say my fist is a mountain. On this side of the mountain is the ocean. On this side of the mountain is the valley. Same mountain, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're on the mountain now. You're looking this way. What do you see? You got an ocean view. You turn this way on the same mountain. On the same mountain, what do you see?
Valley
view. Mountain hasn't changed. Your view, your perspective, your insight.
Yes.
And God got so much in the Word.
Yes.
One word can change your life.
Yes.
But we have to get it deep. Why? Because it has to come out of us.
Amen.
That's where the power comes out of us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Everything we need is in Christ. And Christ is in us. As Christians, he's in us.
Yes.
The day we receive Christ, He became inside of us. And the word brings what he has for us out of us through the word of God. And I was so excited. I was blessed. I consider myself blessed as a college student when I got saved because I was studious. So it wasn't hard for me to study. I didn't get out of the habit. I was already doing. I had to do. I was in undergraduate school. So I got all kind of classes and stuff. So I'm used to, I got notebooks. Mm-hmm. I got notebooks today. Mm-hmm. They're dated on 1973, 1974, 1975. My pastor's teaching. I got a sermon on Bible study and Sunday services and so forth, and or guest speaker. And I'm writing all that down. And then I'm reading on my own. That's what a disciple is. It's a learned one, studying, following Jesus. Because if we don't take this kind of commitment, then everything, even the dreams in your heart, they ain't happening.
Well, that's right.
Not to the potential you want and what God put in you without the word. Say without the word.
Without the word.
Without you knowing it and applying it in your life. Amen. And that's what this is about.
Amen.
It's the word of God. Say the word of God.
The word of God.
Doesn't matter who your mom and dad is. They may be the best preacher, best missionary, best minister, best Christian. You know. But you know what? We all got to stand before God. And God is our personal Savior.
Yes.
God has no grandchildren. Yeah. He's your personal Savior.
Yes. Amen.
I can't go on my mama's coattail.
That's right.
But my mama, you know, God, my dad. No. I got to get it for myself. And it's not too late. It's not too late. Say it's not too late. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, talking about the word, speaking the word, declaring the word. I was listening to, in fact, let me show you, there's a picture we're going to put up of Brother Kenneth Hagin's book and teaching. It's on YouTube. I want to encourage you to watch it on your own. It's about healing, because this word also applies to healing. The need of healing is a dominant, common need. But the principles are so powerful, and so I encourage you, and so you can get it right there on YouTube and listen to it, and it is powerful. And what I love about it, because it talks about emphasis on the Word of God, and it talks about an example how a person who could be in church, believe in the Bible, but really their mind's not deep enough, so they end up saying, I know God healed me, he's a healer, but the doctor said, you know, sister, you don't get it yet. In fact, I sent a few of you and other people as well, a video clip from also on YouTube about Catherine Kuhlman. And this week, because I was just listening. See, I get built up. Amen. I got to get in the Word, and then I listen to other ministers too, my friend.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
And then guess what? I go back years ago in my own teaching and go over it. Why? If it's good for you, it got to be good for me, y'all.
Right.
So Catherine Kuhlman had a very powerful healing ministry. And so I was watching her, and then I noticed, watched the clip, read some of her people's comments about it. They love her and so forth, so like I did. And then the one guy said, I played the piano for her. And one day I asked her, what is faith? Going back to believing and how important it is, the word. He says, what is faith? When you quit believing what you see and start seeing what you believe.
Yeah.
I'm going to go inside over here. Okay. See, faith is when you stop and you quit believing what you see. But it's hurting. But see what you believe, the Bible. You walk by faith, not by sight. What kind of church came to today? You know, it's kind of mind, science, seeing stuff. Read your Bible. Genesis chapter 13, God's talking to Abraham. He said, look at the north, south, east, and west. Okay, God, as far as you can see,
yeah,
I'll give you.
Amen.
What happens, our physical environments paint a different picture. Yeah. So it takes the word of God to come out of you. You start talking and acting differently, and you start creating a whole different world around you.
Amen.
That you didn't see before. Like Las Vegas was just a desert. It's still a desert, but it got an oasis in the middle of it. Because somebody saw something other folk couldn't see. People buy houses, old wreck, you know, all beat up. Drug dealers been in there. Finally bought it, kicked them all out. added a few bathrooms, 2-3 bedrooms. Fix it up. You've been watching HDTV. Amen. Now you put a little money into it, but your equity now is far, it's more worth more, and it's more enjoyable for you because you saw something other people didn't see.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's what faith does.
Yes.
Now we get it when we talk that way intellectually, but to have it happen in your life, you got to go deep.
Yes.
Because we have so much of the world in us.
Yes.
Bishop, too. You watch the same news and stuff and same and hear the same things going on about what's threats of war and this and that and economy and, you know, and homelessness and all that. We get it. But what happens subtly is undermining you.
Yeah, yeah.
The fear, the reluctance. And you don't realize it's on you. It's like here you got to get your car washed. You drive it for a week. It's got dirt all over it. You didn't do it on purpose. You just driving, minding your own business.
Yeah.
But you got dirt on, you have to go through a little puddle. Now you got mud on the wheels.
Yeah.
You didn't do it on purpose. You pick it up along the way.
Yeah.
We pick up fear.
Yeah.
We pick up doubt.
Yeah.
We pick up, I'm not going to take too much risk. You hear all that, you see that. Are you following me?
Uh-huh.
What's going to combat that? But the word of God.
Amen.
But the word of God. Say the word of God.
The word of God.
And it has to go deep. It can't be just a nice sermon.
That's right.
You got to be in your heart, my friend. And we got to keep it there. Say, keep it there. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Say, day and night.
Day and night.
That you may observe to do. Say, observe to do.
Observe to do.
Say, observe to do.
Observe to do.
What do you observe with?
Your eyes.
God wants you to see something.
Yeah.
The word of God will begin to paint a picture of an image of what God is showing you for your life.
Yes.
And you need to see it. Faith is not blind. Faith sees.
Amen. That's right.
It doesn't see natural eyes. You see with your spiritual eye.
Yes.
In fact, the neuroscientists will tell you that you see really your visual part is in your brain. Yeah. That's how you imagine. Oh, let me talk to you. It's in your Bible, 11th chapter of Genesis. They're about to build a tower to the sky. And God says, they're going to do that. And God said this, nothing will be restrained from them what they imagine to do. They had to see themselves do it, to create tools to do it, like building the pyramids. How are we going to do that? We got to see it first and figure out how to build it. You're going to get this. And we don't apply that to our walk with God? You think it's going to be like magic because I go to church, I go to Zoe, I love people, I'm a good person, and everything will fall together, and then you have an enemy coming against you, and you don't resist him? You don't see him under your feet? You see him over your head? No, you got to see him under your feet. That's what the Bible says.
That's right.
Until you see that, you won't resist him.
Amen.
With any authority. You'd be afraid of the devil.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Talking about making your way prosperous. And it goes on further. That you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. You will make your way what?
Prosperous.
Make your way what?
Prosperous.
And then you will have what?
Good service.
That's in the Bible. That's not Tony Robbins, is it? No, that's okay. That's not Les Brown? No, that's not. See, because too often we shy away because of people don't know the Bible, really don't know God. Do you know when God created Adam? It was after he created everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he needed was already in the earth. You're going to get this.
All right, good.
He didn't wake up one day after he created Adam and Adam talked to him. You know, babe, I'm hungry. I better pray to God for some food. No, it's already here. Food's already here.
That's right.
Yeah. That's the kind of God we serve. So how do we tap into it? Whether it's healing, provision, restoration, fulfilling the vision and purpose God has put in your heart, overcoming the obstacles in the way. That's what we call world overcomers.
Right.
The Bible calls you a world overcomer. 1 John 5:4, this is the confidence that we have in him. Oh, God.
Hallelujah.
If any man, he's so powerful. You overcome. Say overcome.
Overcome.
Yeah. You're a world overcomer.
Thank you, God.
Who was he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus Christ is Lord?
Amen.
Notice, believe it. Yes. You believe in your heart,
yes.
Not in your head. Mm. And for it to get in your heart, you got to go up here first and then here. Right. How does it get from here to here? You think about it deeply, over and over again. You keep it, and then you start settling in your heart. You settle it in your heart.
Amen.
Say, settle it in my heart.
Settle it in my heart.
But notice what it says, that you may observe to do. Say, observe to do. I'm thinking about one of our members of our church. Her name was, or is, Tamiko. And her husband is Kevin Madeer. And she couldn't have children. Well, she got pregnant but couldn't keep hold of the pregnancy. And she was basically aborting the child because she couldn't carry it full term. She came to our church, her and her husband, and started hearing me teach like this. And I recall one day she's sitting back about this row, about six rows back off the aisle, and she came and shared a testimony. And I share this with you because all she had was the word. She had no encouragement from medical science at all. She got pregnant again like she had before, and all of a sudden she started spotting a little blood. And she's a little concerned, but she kept saying, "You're not coming today." And then she kept believing God, and, doctor, she kept spotting some more. Doctor took her off work, get on the bed, just lay down, because, you may, it could be a problem. So she followed instructions of the doctor, no problem, but she believed in the word of God. "You're not coming today."
Amen.
Then baby got a little bigger, a little small bump, kept talking to the bump. "You're not coming today."
Amen.
When we understand the word, you start looking at the authority.
Yes.
Jesus spoke to the wind, and his disciples marveled. "What kind of man is this?" He said, "You can do the same thing."
That's right.
Amen. When we get this, we'll no longer be normal.
My God.
And so she kept doing it. 3 months, not coming today. 6 months, not coming today. 9 months, you can come now. Now she has 3 children.
Yes.
Powerful. Powerful. Come on, give God a hand. Powerful. She's come back and shares her testimony a couple of times. Then the knocker, her and her husband Dave, they couldn't have children, had difficulty. And they came up here. We had a guest speaker from Hawaii, Pastor Arsa Pope and his wife, Kuna. And Kuna has an anointing of ministering people to receive children or get pregnant. So we had some couples came forward, and the knocker was one of them. And so she went forth and got pregnant. And she's all excited about it. "Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Got pregnant, praise God." And then as gone further, she further on in the pregnancy, she got some problems and complications. See, the devil's trying. He Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and then destroy. Because if you don't understand, he starts saying, "God, why did you do it to me? You let me get pregnant. You're not taking the baby from me. Why, God, do it? Why are you doing this to me?" He ain't doing it to you. It's the thief.
That's right.
It's the thief doing it. You got to ascribe blame where it goes. The devil. God is your friend. The devil is your enemy. He's a thief. Say, he's a thief.
He's a thief.
So, but it's because you understood this word I'm teaching you. See, when we understand this, you can make your way prosper. Why? Getting stuff out of the way to allow you to move forward.
Amen.
And you deal with the word of God. Say the word of God.
The word of God.
And so, the Bible, what she found out is that now the doctor said the baby is in your tube. In your tube. Now, either we operate or either you save your life or the baby's life. I suggest you save your life and the baby dies. She wanted both lives to live. She's believing God, talking in tongues. She's a tongue talker. She's from Cambodia, and she came to America after the war in Vietnam, and she got a hold of the word of God, and she begins to believe it. And she's a little feisty. She believed big time, okay?
Amen.
And she's bold. Sometimes you got to be bold.
Yeah,
doctors talking, they're doing the best they do, and I'm not knocking doctors. And now they're rolling her into the emergency room because it's gotten real serious. She's believing God, praying until that she shares a testimony. And then the Spirit of God said, tell the doctor, examine you again. He just examined her about 10 minutes ago. "Examine me again, doc." "I just examine me again, doc, while I was sat down. Examine me. Do it again, doc." They examined her, and the baby was in the other, was out of the tube where it should be.
Yeah.
Who does that? But who?
God.
No medicine, no operation. The word. Say the word.
The word.
And many folk in this church have a similar or same kind of testimony, what the word can do.
Hallelujah.
In fact, my son Joshua, he and Marcy was coming to church and got an accident, a little more than fender bender, I guess. And the airbags blew up and all his face was cut up. He came to church. He's on a praise team, a saxophone player. Looking at his face, I'm thinking, what happened? He's believing God. Say, believe in God.
Believe in God.
He's believing God. Say, believe in God.
Believe in God.
He could have went to the doctor. I would have supported that, but he said, no, I'm okay, Dad. I'm okay. You know, scarred and stuff like that. Bleeding, you know. That's the first service. By the time the second service finished up, it was going away already. He's believing God. Say, believe in God.
Believe in God.
And then you end up ministering someplace that afternoon, right? Was it the afternoon or later on?
No,
okay, stay at home. Okay, he went back home and rested. All right, no problem. But God, it manifests quickly. Are you following me?
Amen.
You see, don't get weird because it takes a little longer than what you thought. Just keep, you ain't coming today.
That's right. Haven't done all.
You got to be bold about this.
Dude.
But you cannot be bold if it's not in your heart.
Amen.
You're going to be sheepish.
Yeah.
Well, that's not me. And then find an excuse. That's not God. No, that's why I said stick with the book, stick with the word. Yes, Josh. Hold on. Oh, you want to get a mic? Okay, come close to me. Okay. All right.
So I didn't go to minister, but what I did was my parents went out to eat after service. I went to go eat. My face was, I probably shouldn't have gone to the restaurant because I look unsanitary, but I just refused to allow that to shape my habits. So I went to the restaurant, the waiter was looking at me crazy, whatever. But within a week, my face looked normal. So
Come on. That's what I'm saying. In fact, Joshua was our oldest child. And so Vanessa had the baby, and you know, and so you normally do, and I go home and come back, check on, you know, Joshua and Vanessa, and I go to the little nursery where Joshua was and check on him, look at him in the window, and I'm looking for, see his little name, but he's not there. I'm thinking, what's happening? Well, maybe he's with his mom. So I go to the bedroom, to the room over there, and I find out, where's the baby at? Where's Joshua? He's not there? And all of a sudden, doctor comes in. He starts playing to us about what he sees, and he's running tests, and this could be serious, could be brain damage and stuff like that. That's what they're talking to us. And we listen to the doctor, and he finishes spiel, and we made a choice. See, in college, this is out of college now, we were college students getting into the Word of God. It wasn't just a Bible study, and you know, it was going deep on our own, personally, letting it go deep, believing this stuff. And so, as he walked out, I said, we're going to believe God.
Right.
And certain family members, we ain't calling.
Amen.
No, we're not calling some of them. No, we're not calling them.
Yes.
They're not going to bring faith to the table.
That's right.
They're going to bring tears. Oh! And we touched and agreed and believed God that he's healed and whole.
Amen.
We came home that night without the baby. Where's the baby at? How's he doing? He's all right. He's okay. Are you lying? No. It's like that Shunammite woman who the prophet prayed for her to have a baby, and he ended up dying. And then he comes to the prophet, and he says, how you doing? Is it well? It's all well. Baby's dead. She's saying what she believes. You're not going to do that if it's not deep in your heart already. You will say what you see.
Amen.
You will say what you feel.
Yep.
But if you say what you believe, you say it, but you don't see it yet.
Right.
That's faith. That's God's way. That's prospering God's way.
Yeah. Hallelujah. The word is
so he didn't have no brain damage. He got a PhD. Parents and grandparents, get a hold of this. You can say, well, the devil took one and messed up another one, you know, but you know, what about the next grandkids or your older kids? You see, you got it. One of my spiritual fathers, Apostle Price, Fred Price, his first son died, got killed in a car accident. And he got a hold of the word, he ain't taking another one.
That's right.
Now I take another one, Deb. I'm gonna put. I know how to pray the word. The heads of angels that camp around about me, Amen. And their name is family, like I do. And I learned that from Him.
Amen.
I pray that for over the years for my family. Thank you, Father. The heads of angels that camped around about me, protect me from all hurt, harm, and danger. Vanessa, Marcy, Joshua, Eddie, Aaron, all my kids and my grandkids. See, we know it intellectually. If you had it on the test, you can write it down. But that test don't count. It's a test of life.
Amen.
And when it comes out of your heart and under pressure.
Amen.
And pressure don't announce itself to you. I'm going to jump on you on all, and you're going to feel like you have a heart attack tomorrow night, and you're going to go to the doctor now. Right? No. It's unannounced. Got to be prepared ahead of time.
Amen.
That's why it says meditate day and night. So when you need it, at a spur of the moment, it pops out of you, out of your mouth. Devil, that's you. I bind you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, I'm healed.
Hallelujah.
Still coughing, still got the shivers. Thank you, Father. I'm not saying no word to the doctor. But while you're going, you're praying the word. You're declaring what God said about you.
That's right.
It's in you. Say it's in you.
It's in you.
But you got to put it in you, my friend. And if we as adults don't get it, our kids are at stake. It ain't God taking them. Is we not operating in our knowledge of the truth?
All right.
That's why I got to teach this.
Amen. Good word.
As we prepare to receive communion, we want to be reminded about the word. That's what communion is all about, remembering Jesus. And if we're going to remember Jesus, we can't remember Jesus without putting the word as a priority, because he said, my words are spirit and they're life. And he wants us to get a hold of his word. And while we're preparing to take communion, some of you are here and you have not made a commitment to receive Christ in your life. Maybe you're like me. I went to church every Sunday as a young boy. I love church. Church was a wonderful thing. I liked the singing, liked the pretty ladies, liked the chicken dinners after service. I loved it. But I wasn't saved. Got baptized, sang in the youth choir. Hey. Did not know God. Didn't know why I didn't know God, just didn't know God. Somehow I slipped through the cracks. Being active, doing stuff. And did not go deep for myself. I didn't know I needed to read the Bible for myself. But some of you are in that spot too. I'm making a decision to invite Christ into your life. And by the way, that's done by a heart decision and a mouth decision. The Bible says if you confess, say with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, that he's now your Lord. And believe in your heart. See, the heart is part of it too. You shall be saved. It's not what your mom and your dad believes, young people. It's about what you're going to believe for your life. That impacts your life. In a moment, I'm giving an opportunity after communion to receive Christ or recommit your life to him today. Because this is for us who have said yes to God. And as we're preparing, there's a song I would like for us to sing, a popular song from years ago. We sung it for many, many years as well. And it's appropriate because we want to reaffirm in our heart to believe God's report. We're going to sing it a little slower, but yet the emphasis is going to be there. Whose report shall you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report shall you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. His report says, I am healed. His report says, I am filled. His report says, I am free. His report says, victory. Now, just so you know, that word report is in the Bible. And in fact, that's the question. Whose report are we going to believe? Those whose their strength is the arm of God. They're leaning on the power of God. See, I believe on what he said, so I believe his report. I'm not against doctors and the financial analysis and all that. I I have another annual physical this month. I do it. I'll receive medical science and medicine if I needed it. But I walk in here because I apply the word. I'm diligent about it. I'm not perfect, but I'm diligent about it. I get a little off. No, watch. You eat too much, Ed. That's too much sugar. Get a little sluggish. And keep speaking the word. Amen. Are you following? Amen. Why? I want to live long so I can fulfill my purpose in life. Amen. And not die prematurely. Whose report shall you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report shall you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. His report says, I am healed.
His report says, I am filled. His report says, I am free. His report says, victory.